And I pray that you help your servant to feed your sheep and take care of your lamb, feed your lamb and take care of your sheep, and so that we grow up in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and also grow up in the grace of our Lord Jesus. And so that in all we're doing, we will be truly blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I talk about Psalm 47. In order for all of us to truly understand what is that Psalm 47, I would like you to write that down, Psalm 46 first. I'm not talking about Psalm 46. But for you to understand 47, and you have to know what it is in Psalm 46, 47, and 48. 47 is doing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years. Jesus Christ is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. That is what happened in Psalm 47. Psalm 46 is as the last of the 7 years of tribulation. So in other words, after the tribulation, that is right before the millennial kingdom. It's Psalm 46, right before the millennial kingdom. And Psalm 48 is right at the end of the, right at the end of the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years, the end of it. So this, Psalm 47, is during the 1,000 years. Psalm 46 is at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, just right before the establishment of the 7 years of tribulation. Before, during, and after. Does it make sense? Okay, with that in mind, I'm going to explain to you what is Psalm 47. Psalm 47 is not a wishful thinking. Psalm 47 is a reality. Those people who are truly blessed by the Lord, by grace, be able to enter into the kingdom of God, and you know what? They're going to clap their hand. Okay? Any person who be able to enter the millennial kingdom, no more pain. Okay? And I'm going to tell you who are they. And in verse 1, it says, clap your hand. Do you know when are we going to clap our hand? When we are sad, we clap our hand, or when we are happy, we clap our hand. We are happy. No more pain, no more suffering, then we're going to clap our hand. Does it make sense? And he didn't say it, only all you God's people clap your hand. And what did he say? He said, clap your hands, all you nations. NASB interpret, clap your hand, all you peoples. All you nation means not only the nation of Israel will clap their hand. The nation of China will clap their hand. Taiwan, Malaysia, Singapore, US, and Canada will clap their hand. Does it make sense? So this is not a wishful thinking. It is a reality, and those people who have the blessing to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, to enjoy 1,000 years of reigning by Jesus at that time, we clap our hands. Okay? We're going to clap our hands. And we're going to shout to God with cries of joy. Now you see that a lot of young people, when they go to the concert, they shout not to God, they shout to the idols, to the star, to the singers, right? They don't shout to God. They shout to the idol with cries of joy. They are happy too. They get stoned, they get drunk, right? Am I right? But in those days, it won't happen. We only shout to one person, that is the Almighty God. This God, I want you to write that down. It's Romans chapter 9, verse 5. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that God. Romans chapter 9, verse 5. There are the patriarchs, and from them, from the Jewish people, is traced the human ancestry of Christ. Christ is God over all. Forever praise, amen. So, turn back to Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hand, all you nations. Shout to God. Right beside God, you write down Romans chapter 9, verse 5. Shout to God means shout to Jesus Christ with cries of joy. Because by that time, every one of them who has the opportunity, who have the blessing to be able to enter the kingdom of God, they all know who Jesus Christ is. He is the Almighty God and the only God. Now, I want to explain to you the nation. What does it mean by the nation? Okay? Who are they? As I said, is the nation of the world, composed of, I separate into two kinds of people. First of all, is the Jews. That means the Israel. Secondly, is the Gentile. From the book of Revelation, we know that during the 7 years of tribulation, half of the Gentiles have the blessing, have the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God. So, half of it. As far as the Jews is concerned, according to Zechariah chapter 13, only 1/3 of the Jewish people have the blessing to be entered the kingdom of God. So, the Bible say, clap your hands, all you nations. These are the people. 1/3 of the Jewish people, 1/2 of the Gentile. Okay? So, in other words, all those people who be able to enter into it, only 1/3 is Jews, 1/2 is the Gentile. So who are they? I want you to write that down, right beside all you nations. Two criteria. First criteria, all those people who doesn't have the mark of the beast on the right hand, nor did he have the mark of the beast on the forehead. Any people during the 7 years of tribulation, if they want to save their own life, they're going to have the mark on the right hand or the mark on the forehead. For the Bible clearly stated that in Revelation chapter 13, those people who doesn't have the mark cannot do any purchasing. No more credit card, because so many forgery in the 7 year tribulation. The Antichrist and the false prophet will force people to have the mark on the right hand or the mark on the forehead in order to make any purchase in the superstore, in Safe on Foot, and Kmart and all that. Those people who doesn't read the scripture, in order to save their life, they all willing to have the mark. But you and I know that. Even though nowadays a lot of people using credit card, and we know that because of the crisis in Greece. In the Greek culture, they don't use credit card. So that's why when the bank closed, they're in deep trouble. They're getting so used to using cash. And in the third world, in the countryside, they don't use credit card either. You understand? So fortunately, those people who don't go into the city to live, probably they will be safe. Because they live in the countryside, they don't need to go to superstore to purchase. They can farm their own land. Half of the population They don't worship the beast. They don't worship the idol. And they're willing to die and not to save their own life. At that time, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25 will be totally fulfilled. Anyone who follow me, Jesus say, have to carry your own cross and follow me. If anyone tries to save himself, he end up losing his life. Anyone who loses his life for me will save his life. So half of the Gentile, he didn't have the mark, and he has the blessing. By grace, enter into the kingdom of God. As far as the Jewish people is concerned, one third of them, they enter. So they enter, they are alive, but they suffer pain for 7 years, and when there's no more pain, they clap the hand. Okay? They clap the hand. Okay, now go back. I say, first of all, if you are unlucky, you wasn't the wise, according to Matthew chapter 25, assuming that there are two kind of people. One is a wise virgin who has the lamb, has oil in the lamb. On top of that, he get oil in the jar so that he's prepared to light up for himself and for Jesus. The other one is a foolish virgin. The foolish virgin will not have the blessing to enter into the wedding banquet of the Lamb. The foolish virgin will go through 7 years of tribulation. During this 7 years of suffering, they understand Psalm 46. They turn around and rely upon Jesus. They repent, and this kind of people, the foolish virgin, repent, can enter into the kingdom of God. The wise virgin didn't have to go through 7 years of tribulation. The wise virgin will take him up to heaven to attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. So Matthew chapter 25. And who else has the blessing to clap the hands and happy and shout to God with cry of joy? Are those people, are the wise virgin taken up? Jesus Christ spared them from going through the 7 years of tribulation and allowed them to attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then after the wedding supper of the Lamb, they come down to enter in the millennium kingdom. They clap their hand even harder because no pain, right? So those who go through the pain but get saved and clap their hand to you. Does it make sense? Okay. I don't know whether you remember what I said. And there's a few people, I know that they do it. I say, when you become a Christian, every day you should read Psalm 5 chapter. In 1 month time, you read the entire book of Psalm. And my daughter did that. And I see that even she talked to other people to do it. When you read Psalm, you get so many mystery and so many wisdom that's hidden in Psalm. Because Psalm was written by the king, David. He's the one after God's heart. Without the Psalm, I don't understand this. With the Psalm and with New Testament teaching, I see the big picture. 46, 47, 48. One is before, one is during, one is after. Does it make sense? Now it's not too late. Start reading that. 5 chapters a day. A month time, you finish the Psalm 1. In a year, 12 times. When do I start doing that? When I was in New York at a seminary, at one time I attend the conference for the pastor. I see the old pastor. I just come after he preaching. I don't even remember his name. I ask him, how do you do a daily devotion? how you get close to God every day. Could you tell me, what do you read? He said to me, Psalm 5 chapter, Proverbs 1 chapter. Then he finished Psalm and Proverbs in a month. So 1 year, he finished 12. And ever since then, for the last 20, 25 years, I did that. So Psalm, I read numerous and numerous times. So I know what is written on it. Okay? I would like you to do the same. After the preaching, you go home and study it and see whether you see what I see. Okay? Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cry of joy. Because a lot of people, they learn to clap their hand after pain and suffering, 7 years, right? And some people clap their hand and say, thanks God, I get the blessing. You spare me from entering into the 7 year tribulation. You take me up to attend the wedding supper of the Lamb, and I'm so happy. So I clap their hand. So this one is not a wishful thinking. If you don't understand Psalm 47, talk about this, the 1,000 years of millennium kingdom, is the kingdom of God. You say, oh, clap your hand, all you nations. Now I see that not many people believe in Jesus. You know what I mean? It is not a wishful thinking. It is a reality for those who has the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 2. How awesome is the Lord Most High. I want you to write that down. The Lord Most High, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why his name called the Lord Most High? Because he go down to the pit and then he rise to the highest heaven. So that's why he's the Lord Most High. You say, Pastor John, where does it say? I want you to turn to, write that down, to the book of Ephesians. To the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I read that to you, verse 7, starting verse 7, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Who gave us the grace? It's Jesus Christ gave us the grace. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, circle the word on high. He ascended on high, so that's why he's the Lord Most High. He led captive in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. The lower earthly region. I want you to write beside the lower earthly region, right beside that. You write down 1 Peter chapter 3. When did Jesus Christ go down to the lower earthly regions? Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 19. Through whom also he went and preached to the spirit in prison. To the spirit in prison is the lower earthly region. Who are they? Who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Noah built the ark, but those people did not believe the preaching of Noah, nor do they want to enter into the Noah ark, and they are the disobedient people. And Jesus Christ entered into the lower earthly region and rebuked them and saying to them, why don't you believe in Noah at that time? You believe in Noah, you won't come into the prison. Jesus Christ going there is not to preach the gospel to them so that they have a second chance to believe in Jesus. No, it's too late. Jesus Christ, the one who entered into the lower earthly region and also go up to the what? To the Most High. So that's why Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Most High. Go back to Psalm 47, verse 2. How awesome is the Lord Most High. You know what? Don't say to any person, you are awesome. Only Jesus Christ is awesome. Okay? How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. I want you to write beside the great King over all the earth. When will it be happen? When will it happen? According to the Old Testament, in Zechariah, is the second last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. The Lord Jesus Christ will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, that is Jesus Christ. His name is the only name. During the 1,000 years of millennium kingdom, if you want to write a letter to Jesus Christ, all you have to write that down, the great King, and he will receive the letter. Because there's only the great King. Does it make sense? The mail will not be misdelivered to any other person, because there's only one. His name is the only name, the great King. And then, I give you the proof in the Old Testament, Zechariah 14:9, I give you a proof in the New Testament, in two locations. One location is Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. They will make war against the Lamb. But the Lamb is the Lamb Jesus Christ. The Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful follower. That's the church. And then, Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. On the robe of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his last battle, on his thigh, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go back to Psalm chapter 47, verse 2. That's why at that time, everybody know who Jesus is. He's an awesome Lord. So that's why he say, how awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdues nations under us and people under our feet. I want you to write that down. When did he subdue nations under us and people under our feet? You write down Psalm 46. After the last battle. Psalm 46 is a chapter before 47, and then you write down, Revelation, the last battle, Revelation 19:11, all the way to 21. But I'm not gonna spend time on that. I would like you guys to spend time on that after the sermon. You go to Sunday school, I want you to read that. Revelation 19:11 to 21, okay? Save some time. And I mentioned it numerous times, okay? So you people do some homework. Go to verse 3. Jesus Christ subdues nation under us. Any nation surround the Jerusalem, attack the Jerusalem. According to Zechariah chapter 14, they all will be subdued. So Jesus Christ subdues nation under us, and subdues peoples under our feet. Anyone who attacked the Jewish people will be destroyed. Verse 4. He chose our inheritance for us. The inheritance are the pride of Jacob. Any people who has inheritance from Jesus Christ, it will become feeling very, very proud. And I feel proud to receive the inheritance from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ chose our inheritance for us. How did he choose our inheritance for us? I want you to write that down. Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure. Whatever you given me, the inheritance, no one can take it away from me. Verse 6, the boundary line has fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. This inheritance is chosen by God, by Jesus Christ, and he gave it to us. How large, how vast, how big is your inheritance depends how you respond to Jesus right now. If you are a wishy-washy Christian, you only got a small portion of the inheritance. If you don't believe, you get nothing. If you believe, you get something. And you strongly believe in him, you get a lot. Where does it say? Who get the inheritance? According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. According to Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. The Bible says, anyone who hears the gospel and believe in it and has the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is the guarantee that you get the inheritance. How much do you get? It depends upon how much you are moved by the Holy Spirit to do God's work. If you are motivated by the Holy Spirit to do God's work, you get more. You quench the Holy Spirit fire, you get nothing. That Holy Spirit within your heart is a guarantee that you get the inheritance. I read that to you, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Lord, as the Most High God, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. I want you to write that down. Psalm 47, verse 4. That is the inheritance he's talking about. He has chosen our inheritance for us. That is the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Go back to Psalm 47. Go back to Psalm 47, verse 4. He chose our inheritance for us, that our inheritance is the pride of us, is the pride of Jacob. Jacob is God's servant. You know who is Jacob? I want you to write that down. Jacob is the person at one point in time, because he is the younger son of Isaac. Isaac has a twin, right? He's the younger son. He's not happy that he's the younger one because he wasn't the firstborn. He won't get the double portion of the blessing from his father. So he hold on to the feet of his brother Esau. But when he grow up, he didn't hold on to his brother anymore. He hold on to God, Jesus Christ. And he say to Jesus, if you don't bless me, I don't let you go. That's the Jacob. If you search for scripture as if treasure, just like what Jacob say, you don't bless me, I don't let you go. These are the person who get inherited. You say, oh, Pastor John say that we're going to get inherited. I don't even know whether what he's saying is true or not. I don't even care less. That kind of person, he didn't even believe in Jesus. If he have this kind of wishful thinking, he didn't even have the Holy Spirit within his heart. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, whatever you hear, the Holy Spirit will say to you, yeah, that's true, that's not true. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, what can I say? You better ask Pastor John, could you lay hand on me? I need to have the Holy Spirit because I believe in Jesus. I still don't have the Holy Spirit. Is it true? Acts chapter 8, we see that. The people in Samaria, they were baptized by Philip, and yet they don't have the Holy Spirit. Am I right? Yes. What about in the church of Ephesus? When Apollos go there and baptizing them, in what? In name of John the Baptist. Wasn't in the name of Jesus. They are disciples. They believe in Jesus, and yet they don't have the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, I know that. They wishy, wishy-washy question, they don't even serve in the Lord, very likely they don't have the Holy Spirit. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit before you leave here today. Does it make sense? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the guarantee. You know what's a guarantee? Guarantee, that means when you buy a house, you put a down payment, that's a guarantee, that's a deposit. You don't have that deposit, you don't have the house. You don't have the inheritance. Go back to Psalm 47, verse 6. Make sure that we all have God's inheritance for us. That's the pride of you when you inherit the kingdom of God at that time. Jacob is the one Jesus loved because he hold on to Jesus. You don't bless me, I don't let you go. You don't give me the Holy Spirit, I don't let you go. You don't give me the inheritance, Lord, don't take me home yet. Make sure I get the inheritance. If I get the inheritance, that means I have the Holy Spirit. If I get the Holy Spirit, that means I have eternal life. If I have the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If I have the Holy Spirit, that means I belong to Jesus. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Make sure you belong to Christ, then he's going to give you the inheritance. Don't be a wishy-washy Christian and thinking that you are a Christian and in fact you are not, right? You have to have that mark. Listen to me very carefully. If you don't have that seal in your forehead, knowing that you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Any person who has the seal and the mark of Antichrist, he go to hell, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Those people who inherit the kingdom of God has the seal of the Holy Spirit. That means this ownership belongs to Christ. You know what? In the farm, you know that. In the butt of the ox, the lamb, they want to make sure that lamb, because all the lamb look the same to you. But if you have 1,000 of them, how do you know which one belongs to who? Okay? So what they do, they have a seal, they put it in their in the fire, red hot, and put it in the butt. It hurt, right? But the mark is there. That's the mark that belongs to. Either you belong to Satan, if you take the mark in Revelation chapter 13, you go to hell. If you take the mark in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, you enter into the kingdom of God. There are two kinds of seals. Does it make sense? Okay, let's go. Psalm 47, verse 5. God has ascended. Right beside that God, you say Jesus Christ. Remember that I tell you to read Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus Christ ascended to the Most High, right? God has ascended amid shout of joy, and the Lord amid the sounding of trumpet. Take a look at where does it say. Go to the Luke, the end, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24, at the very end. Verse 48. You are witnesses of this thing. 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. That's the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city of Jerusalem, until you have been clothed with power from on high. Verse 50. When he has led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hand and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he led them and was taken up into heaven. You write down, Jesus Christ, this very God, has ascended. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. Psalm 47, verse 5. While he was blessing them, while Jesus Christ was blessing them, he led them and was taken up into heaven. And what happened? After that, Then they worshiped Jesus and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I bet they're going to clap their hands. And then they stay continuously at the temple in Jerusalem, praising God. Praising God. That is what it means by shouts of joy in praising God. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. Luke recorded the ascension of Jesus Christ. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him going into heaven. When they see Jesus ascend to the Most High, they clap their hands. Oh man, this God is a mighty God. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sounding of trumpet. They're very happy. Sing praises to God. This God is Jesus. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King, the only King. Capital letter K, our King. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And sing praises. And sing praises only to him. He's worthy of our worship. For God is the King of all the earth. That's why I sing praises to him. You know what? If you don't have all this understanding in the New Testament, when you look at the Old Testament, Psalm 47, verse 7, you don't even know who this God is. Do you know who he is now? He's Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Make sure when we see Jesus in the millennial kingdom, we sing Psalm 47 to him. Because this Psalm 47 testifies who Jesus Christ is. He is the King, the God, the Almighty God, the Lord Most High. Verse 8. God reigns over the nation. You write that down. During 1,000 years. He reigned and reigned and reigned for 1,000 years. And God is seated on his holy throne. Do you remember what I've said? What this awesome and great King, great Lord, great God has done for us? If only Jesus Christ reigned over the nation for 1,000 years, and we are just his people, we are just his citizens, that is good already, but it's not good enough. Verse 9. The noble of the nation assembled as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth, the Chinese one called the shield. I want to change that shield to be kings. Small letter K with a plural. For the kings of the earth belongs to God. Anyone who belongs to God, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, has to have the Holy Spirit. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit has the inheritance. Anyone who has the inheritance also has kingship. In other words, not only Jesus Christ reigned on earth over the nation for 1,000 years, all those people who are faithful in serving him, will reign on earth also for 1,000 years. I want you to write that down. Right beside verse 9, 47 verse 9, you write down Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased man for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom, you allow them to enter into the kingdom of God for 1,000 years, and you make them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. If you are faithful in serving God as priests, because he purchased you from every tribe and language and people and nation, he purchased you from China, some from Hong Kong, some from Canada, some from Philippines. He purchased you. He wants you to be priests. He wants you to understand God's word and teach others. If you are willing to do that, and they will reign on earth for 1,000 years with Jesus. Right beside verse 10, these people who are willing to serve God as priests and serve God faithfully, know his word, and they will reign on the earth for how long? For 1,000 years. I want you to write that down. First, who reigned? In verse 8. God, Jesus Christ, reigned over the nation. God, Jesus Christ, is seated on his holy throne. And then he gives this blessing to those people who are faithful in serving them. And they're going to gather together as the people of God of Abraham. And they're going to receive kingship. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He make you king. And they will reign on earth for 1,000 years. Who else will reign on earth for 1,000 years? Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. Are those people, you write that down, right beside chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. You write down, they are the wise virgin. They have oil in the lamp and extra oil in the jar. They were spared from going through the 7 years of tribulation. They can attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. And who else can enter the kingdom of God? It's those people during the 7 years of tribulation. They're willing to die and not have the mark of the Antichrist. And they were slain, suffer for Jesus. They can reign also for 1,000 years. So where does it say? Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, chapter 20, verse 4 to 6. I read that to you. I saw thrones on which were sealed those who has been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who has been beheaded. They sacrificed for Jesus because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They have not worshipped the beast or his image and has not received his mark on the forehead or on their hand, the right hand. They came to life, they resurrected, they reigned with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who has part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. I want you to circle two words. First word, they will be priests with Christ. I don't care whether you have the blessing to taking up to the wedding supper of the Lamb to spare the 7 year tribulation, or you enter into the 7 year tribulation. In order
to be king with Jesus. You have to serve God as priest now, or serve God as priest during the 7 year tribulation. You serve God as priest, you're going to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. Does it make sense? It is a gospel. Is this a good news? I want you to study that. Don't just believe in it. Study it so that you can be a priest and tell other people the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for what is written in Psalm 47. It's indeed a truly blessing to each and every one of us. You have chosen and you have given the heritage of those who fear your name. And you have chosen our inheritance for us, and help us to be faithful in serving you as priests right now, or those people who enter into a 7 year tribulation, help them to serve as priests with you. Not to take the seal of the Antichrist, of Satan, but take the seal of the Holy Spirit in our forehead, so that we know we belong to you, so that we know we're going to inherit the inheritance. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.